thank you for your presence here today, especially considering that the weather is a little bit discouraging to travelers today. This morning I'd like to talk about the simplicity of the Bible. I've had something to say about some of the difficulties of the Bible in recent months or years in my preaching. I thought it was about time that we look at the other side of the coin, so to speak, and recognize that there's a lot in the Bible that is simple. Let me start off by suggesting that there's a lot in the Bible that would indicate that it is a difficult book. So if someone were to ask you, is the Bible difficult or is it easy? You could say with a lot of justification, well, both, or yes and no. But there is a lot to suggest that the Bible is a difficult book. For one thing, it is a long, complex epic. Its narrative begins with the creation of the world, but even the historical portions of it, starting with Abraham back in Genesis 11 and 12, going up through the time of Jesus and then the apostles, covers about 2,000 years of history, from about 1800 B.C. to 100 A.D. It is complex also in that it is comprised of two major divisions, the Old and New Testaments, of course, whose histories are separated by 400 years. It also consists of 69 smaller books written by an estimated 40 different authors and representing several different kinds of literary genres. So from that standpoint, I'm saying it's a fairly complex book. It is also the subject of research at the highest levels of academia. You could say that anything that has to have a professor to teach it in some public school, it could be a difficult book. Some would say it's difficult by virtue of the fact that its adherents cannot agree on what it teaches. They're so divided, as a matter of fact, that there are hundreds, if not thousands, of conflicting sects and schools of thought regarding the Bible. So just on that standpoint alone, some people might say, the Bible must be a very difficult book. Also, you could say that the experience of those who read and study it is to struggle to understand it, at least at times. As a matter of fact, people who read the Bible and who are serious about the Bible frequently get together to talk about its meanings, as we're doing right here. And finally, even the Bible itself acknowledges it to be difficult, or parts of it to be difficult. As Peter said about Paul's writings in 2 Peter 3, verses 15 and 16, saying that in them are some things hard to understand. And in Acts 8, chapter, remember when Philip found the Ethiopian eunuch riding in his chariot and reading from, actually as it turned out, Isaiah 53, and Philip asked him, do you understand what you're reading? He said, well, how could I unless someone guides me? So even in the Bible, in passages such as this, suggests that at least parts of it can be quite difficult. So given all of these considerations, why would anyone doubt that the Bible is difficult? In fact, these considerations that I've just given you are in themselves reason to restore some balance and some perspective in answering this question, is the Bible difficult or is it easy? While the Bible can certainly be difficult, we should be careful not to overstate and exaggerate its difficulty, because if we do, people could be discouraged from studying the Bible. Oh, I've heard that that book is just too hard to understand, therefore I don't even want to try. So we don't want to get people intimidated about reading and studying the Bible, because that would make things even worse for them. Of course, difficult and easy are relative terms. Whether something's difficult or easy can vary from person to person. What is difficult to some people or to the same person at different times can become or be easy to others, and vice versa. Whether the Bible is difficult or easy depends on several different factors. It depends on a person's natural intelligence and capabilities, of course. It depends on how old a person is, his age. It depends on a person's background. It depends on a person's own interest in psychology, his education, his training. It depends on the nature of the subject that you're studying at the time. So, there are a lot of things that would suggest that the Bible could be either easy or difficult. Of course, the nature of the Bible, in this respect, that is, that there are some parts of it that are relatively easy, some parts of it that are relatively difficult, is in keeping with God's desire that we have and be able to exercise free will. And we be willing and able to choose and exercise our faith. Because it says in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 7, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." So, in other words, if we want to be people of faith, we can choose to be people of faith. If we want to say, "Oh, the Bible's too difficult, it's a mess, I can't be from God, I don't want to even study it, don't want to try to lead my life according to its principles, because it is so difficult," then again, we're making that choice. And God gives us that opportunity. Therefore, the simplicity of the Bible, as I'm talking about simplicity of the Bible here, really addresses the average person. What would the average person find the Bible to be? Difficult or easy? And I just think something needs to be said at this point about the simplicity of the Bible. And as we proceed through this lesson, I think you'll see why something needs to be said about the simplicity of the Bible. What's simple about the Bible? Well, I want to answer that. I want to give four answers to that question. What is simple about the Bible? And I would say, first of all, the Bible is simple in its original languages. You know, sometimes when people write something, they can say it in such a way that it is difficult to understand. I mean, people can take the same concept. One person can express it simply and we can understand it readily. Another person can put it in other words and you can say, it can leave you scratching your head. You're wondering, what did he just say? What did he just say? I tell you, there have been times when I've read books and I hardly have a clue what the author's talking about, because he just over my head, which may not be hard to get to, but anyway, sometimes the terminology people uses, the language in which they write, or the way they string words together, it just makes it hard to understand what is being said. But the Bible, on the other hand, is simple in its language. It was written in the everyday language of the common man. Of course, the Old Testament, with the exception of some small parts written in a language called Aramaic, was written in Hebrew, and the New Testament entirely in Greek. Now, there were some people at one time, I've heard, who thought that the Bible was written in Holy Spirit languages, special religious dialects, perhaps that only an exclusive priesthood who were initiated into the concepts of the Bible, into the language of the Bible, and who were trained in them, could understand them. That's not true. The languages in which the Bible was written were spoken by millions of people. As a matter of fact, when we talk about studying the Greek language or dialect in which the New Testament was written, you know what they call that? They call that Koine Greek. The word koine, K-O-I-N-E, is the Greek word for common. In other words, it was the common Greek. It was the Greek spoken by the average person. It would be what we would call today street language, I guess, or common language. And this is so true that the meanings of Bible terms are really known before you go to the Bible and read them. It's not like, okay, we have to have a glossary because the Bible is going to be using a special jargon here that we, in terms that we can't understand. So you're going to have to learn how to define these terms before you even go to the Bible and you won't understand what you're reading. No, the Bible was written in language that people already understood. As a matter of fact, sometimes when scholars do want to study what was meant by certain terms used in the Bible, they will go to contemporaneous extra-biblical writings to find out how those terms were used there and then bring the definitions from those extra-biblical writings back to the Bible to understand. Because the Bible wasn't using special terms in special ways. So in this respect, the Bible should be no harder to understand than any other common piece of literature, such as a newspaper. So really, all you need to understand the Bible is not a high intellect. You just need to be a literate person. Now, Jonathan read just a moment ago from Luke 10, verses 25 through 28. A lawyer asked Jesus, "What do I have to do to inherit eternal life?" What did Jesus say? He points them to the Old Testament. It says, how does it read to you? You just need to be literate. You just need to go back there and read it. You know, it doesn't require a lawyer's degree. It's not written in legalese. You just need to be literate, basically, in order to understand the Bible. So, first of all, the Bible is simple in that it was written in language that everybody used and everybody knew in its place and time originally. Secondly, the Bible is simple in its theme. Now, a book's theme is the basic idea or subject about which the author is writing. It's the point that he wants to get across. It's the reason he's writing. Now, an author writes his book for the purpose of advancing this theme or this basic idea. And every part of the book is written around that theme, ideally. And the book's theme then gives its parts coherence or unity. And yet sometimes people or authors have problems with their themes. You start reading their book and you thought from the title it was supposed to mean one thing, and you really can't understand what he means or what he's saying, because he doesn't seem to be relating what he's saying to what was supposed to be the basic idea of his book. We ought to be able to look at the title of a book and have a pretty good idea of what the contents of the book are. That's not always the case, though, because some authors don't deal very well with their theme. Well, the Bible, like every good book, has a theme. And you could say that the basic theme of the Bible is the salvation of sinners through Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible is. You could perhaps find a number of different theme statements in the Bible. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him might not perish but might have eternal life." That could be the theme of the Bible there. But there are other statements in the Bible, that maybe many more, that especially in the New Testament, that set forth that basic idea. The Old Testament demonstrates how people are sinful, how lost they are, by showing that God's people have always gone astray. They have stubbornly persisted in their sins despite His efforts to bring them back to Him. The New Testament then presents sinners with their Savior, Jesus Christ, and shows them how they can be saved in Him. Throughout its pages, the Bible never leaves its readers in doubt that it is a book about religion. It is a book about spirituality, good and bad, or morality. It is a book about God. God is frequently mentioned in the pages of the Bible, either explicitly or implicitly. The Bible reveals His will and His character to us. The Bible is concerned with people doing right, and it defines what is right by telling us what God's will is. From beginning to end, it condemns sin. It condemns the violation of God's law. It points to mankind's greatest problem as sin that needs to be overcome. And it shows that God punishes sin and rewards obedience. That's the Bible in a nutshell. And it doesn't ever get very far from that idea, if it does get away from it at all. So, what the Bible is about is easy for the reader to see. Because I said, it's never far from its basic thing. So secondly, I would submit to you that the Bible is simple in its theme, or in telling us what it's about. Third, I would submit to you that the Bible is simple in its contents. Of course, the first step in understanding any writing is being able to read it, and in reading it, knowing what the author is trying to say. Like I said a while ago, I've had experience, maybe you have too, of reading some things, and you're at least scratching your head wondering what the guy is trying to say. But the Bible excels in readability and understanding. It's not mysterious, dark, and difficult. It's not a technical manual. It's not a book of philosophy and or civil law or psychology. I mention those subjects in particular because those are ones that I have trouble with, and you may too. We talk about, we use the term legalese, for instance, to talk about something that, you know, you'd need a lawyer to help you understand what is being said. The Bible is not like that. It was written for the general public, the average person. It was written for popular consumption. One factor in the simplicity of the Bible is that half of its contents consist of historical narrative, which may be the easiest type of literary genre to understand. Most of us can sit down with a history book and understand the plot right away. What's being said? No problem. Now, questions do arise about why things happened and what the connections are between these events, and that's really the deeper study of history. But as far as, you know, just relating what happens, there shouldn't be any problem. When a reader goes to the Bible, he knows immediately what happens. He can tell you what happens. Now, again, there may be some deeper meanings behind the record that he may not immediately be able to discern, but he can tell you what's happening. Even if you go to what we think of as the hardest books in the Bible with a lot of symbolic imagery, the book of Ezekiel. You know, the spinning wheels early on in Ezekiel, the first or second chapter where they occur. Or you go to the book of Revelation and you see the things going on there. And you're wondering, wow, what does all of this mean? But still, at the same time, if you read those things, you could tell someone else what you read, couldn't you? Now, what they mean and what the symbols mean is another matter, but at least you know the contents. A young child can relate the story of the flood as well as an adult can. You know, an adult can read the story of the flood. The story of the flood can be read to a child. They can both repeat it back at about the same level of competency. The simplicity of the Bible's contents may be measured by the fact that the first-time reader and the young or unlearned reader can relate them as well as the believer who is familiar with them. It's not like, I can tell you the story of the crucifixion of Jesus better than the first-time reader could because I've been reading the Bible for, you know, 40 or 50 years or whatever. Therefore, I could tell you the story of the crucifixion 40 or 50 times better than that person. No. He could tell you as well as I could as far as the contents themselves are concerned. So all that is required to understand the Bible's contents immediately is to read them. So understanding the Bible's contents to this extent is not dependent upon age, intelligence, education, or study. finally, let me say that the Bible is simple in terms of its interpretation. Of course, to interpret means to assign a meaning to words. Now, you might, or someone might think, and you might think, oh, surely he's got it wrong here. Because a lot of people would see the claim that the Bible is easy in its interpretation as being the Achilles heel of what I'm trying to tell you about the simplicity of the Bible. This is the weakest point in my argument, perhaps a person would think. Why is that? Because there are so many differences in interpretation, aren't there? However, even differences in interpretation of the Bible are not as much due to the inherent difficulty of the Bible as you might think. People of widely varying religious backgrounds can show surprising uniformity of interpretation of any particular Bible text on this condition: if their peculiar doctrines do not require some defense. If they're reading something, if I'm reading something, and another person is reading something, we can come away from this with the same interpretation, as long as one of us don't feel that this particular text threatens what we believe that may be different from what the other person believes. I've got a set of commentaries called pulpit commentaries, and they can be very useful in that they've got some, I don't want you to think by saying this that I'm using my pulpit commentaries as a crutch. Although, in working up sermons, I have found that they can be really helpful because they've got homiletics sections where you can, and homilies where you can, sermons, in other words, written sermons where you can go back and these fellows, they would not be Christians by the standard of the New Testament. But if you read what they've got to say, they're pretty insightful guys. They bring out some points that sometimes leave me almost in awe of their insightfulness. Now again, this is in areas where we don't have disagreements with one another. Think about that. Let me use this as an example. On the subject of homosexuality, that's a difficult one right there. I mean, there's so many divergent views, even among those who might claim to be Christians, about whether or not homosexuality is all right, or the practice of it is all right, that you might think, someone who didn't know any different might think that the Bible is very difficult to understand on that particular subject. That claim can be made now, but you go back 100 and 200 years ago, I would imagine it would be no problem. Everybody would agree about what the Bible teaches about the practice of homosexuality. What has changed in the past 100 or 200 years, or even in the past 25 years? People have started to disagree about it because they don't want to condemn it. And then the idea has arisen from that therefore the Bible must be difficult on that particular subject. It is not. So people's views of whether or not the Bible is difficult, especially on particular subjects, that has changed. But it's not because the Bible has changed. Now, all of this is not to deny that the Bible, or particular parts of it, can be difficult to understand. I've already been over that. It's not to deny that people need to study it for its deeper and fuller meanings. But, as a generality, and I want to underscore the word generality here, the lessons of the Bible are pretty simple. You can read, for instance, Jonathan read a while ago the story of the Good Samaritan. A person could read that. You don't have to be a Bible professor in some public university or whatever to understand it. People can go to the story of the Good Samaritan and they know immediately the lessons that we are supposed to get out of that. This is so true that the Bible, the one's basic understanding of the Bible, often will not change after his first serious and careful reading of it. It's not like, okay, person reads through the Bible, gets some idea of its contents, what it's saying, what it means. Then he's reading through the Bible a second time and he thinks, wait, what is this about Jesus? Jesus arose from the dead? I didn't know that. I must have missed that on my first reading. No, that's not the problem. Basically, you don't... What the Bible means, the basic interpretation of the Bible does not change after the first reading. If you're reading it carefully and seriously and trying to be objective about your reading of it. Even on the matter of baptism, you know, there's a lot of controversy about baptism. Let me use that as an example. And I understand that there's a lot of controversy about it. There are a lot of different views. But there's a lot of commonality too. Baptism is such a prominent subject in the New Testament. There are at least there's something like 100, 116 specific references to baptism in the New Testament. It's such a common subject that no one that I'm aware of, or almost no one that I'm aware of who calls himself or herself a Christian, denies the importance of baptism. Because all religious sects that call themselves Christians consider baptism important and try to do something that they call baptism. They don't leave it out entirely. So there's even on that controversial subject, there is a basic level of commonality. The Bible or the gospel are so simple to understand that a person could become a Christian within one day or even 1 hour of hearing or studying it or reading it. On the day of Pentecost. How many obeyed the gospel on the day of Pentecost? 3,000, remember? 3,000 people heard the gospel and they obeyed it. It wasn't because... Now, there are probably many, many more who did not obey the gospel. But do you think that that was because they didn't understand what Peter was saying? No, it's because they didn't believe what he was saying or didn't want to obey what he was saying. But probably all of the crowds, they understood what he was saying. There's only that 3,000 there wanted to obey him. Take the example of the Ethiopian eunuch. Here, Philip is invited up into his chariot to read and study Isaiah 53, and he starts from that passage and teaches Jesus to him. And what happens when the fellow gets all the way back home months later to Ethiopia? Then he decides to obey the gospel? No. He understood, I guess, I don't know how long they were traveling together in that chariot, but apparently the same day, because they came to some water and the Ethiopian said, look, water, what prevents me from being baptized? Might have been in an hour or less, or a matter of a few hours. Then there's the example of the Philippian jailer. I want to turn to this passage and read it specifically. The Philippian jailer. In Acts 16, verse 33, it says, this is talking about how he treated Paul and Silas after the earthquake had occurred. It says, and he took them that very hour of the night and washed their wounds, and immediately he was baptized, he and all his household. So it's conceivable that in the course of 1 hour, a person could come to believe and obey the gospel. Now, it was a little bit more complex than that. I mean, there was the matter of the earthquake. Probably the Philippian jailer had had some exposure to Paul's teaching because he had been in Philippi teaching for a while before he was arrested and beaten and jailed. So there might have been some more background than that, but not much more. Within 1 hour, or at least it says immediately, he was baptized. doesn't sound like a lot of complexity in the basic teaching of the Scriptures, at least what a person needs to know in order to obey the gospel. In fact, the Bible is so simple that if anyone does not understand it, as it's been said to me sometimes, you need some help to misunderstand that. Maybe some help from a false teacher or somebody who's trying to tell you something. He has his own personal agenda to get across. But generally speaking, and again I say generally, it is not comprehending what the Bible says that is difficult. It's implementing what it says. That is, obeying what it says. But understanding what it says can be fairly simple. As a matter of fact, this is so true that it is not because of any difficulty in the Bible that people will be lost. It's not because, in other words, they tried and tried and tried with all their heart to understand the Bible, but just cannot understand it. That's not why people are going to be lost. It's because they've got problems just with the Bible. With the Bible. And I appreciate it when people are that honest, you might say, and just come right out and say, in so many words, I don't like the Bible or what it says, and I don't want to do what it says. I can appreciate that more than someone taking the Bible and making it seem like, oh, the Bible's really that difficult to understand. You know, you can get so many things out of this one verse. You can go that way with it, or you can go in the opposite direction with it. In conclusion, even the difficulty of the Bible or some of its parts has a purpose. I just say that you know, there's something that we can appreciate even in the difficulty of the Bible. It can increase our appreciation for the Bible when we have to put forth some effort to understand it, and then we have the reward of getting that deeper meaning as a result of understanding it. That can increase our appreciation of it. It can deepen our faith in it as the Word of God. This is not a shallow book. It's not written on the level of a comic book. So I want to say there are some things that can be said in behalf of the difficult parts of the Bible too. I mean, if the Bible, let's face it, if the Bible did not have some difficulty to it, would we be here today trying to study it together? Trying to understand it better? And yet, amid the discussion of the difficulties and the fine points of the Bible, it should not be forgotten that the Bible is, generally speaking, in its basic message, a simple book. And therefore, the most critical factor in the simplicity of the Bible is not a part of the Bible at all. It's the student or the reader himself. Are you going to make it difficult? Are you going to make it something that you cannot understand, or you're going to behave as if you cannot possibly understand it? We get to decide whether the Bible is simple or difficult. It's like just about anything else. The more you do it, the easier it becomes. I mean, have you ever had the experience of committing yourself to a task, maybe a repetitive task? And you think, at first, you know, oh, this is hard. I remember the first time I learned how to pull up my email. Oh, it was intimidating. How am I going to deal with this computer? But guess what? I know how to pull up my email very easily right now. I can do that. I can do that. Now, there are a lot of other things with the computer that I can't do, as I suppose everyone knows by now. I'm not a computer geek. But the thing about it is, you know, the more you do something, the more you work with something, the easier it becomes. And it's that way with the Bible. The more you study the Bible, don't get discouraged by the first time you go to the Bible and you might find it, you know, oh, there's some parts of it here that I don't understand. Don't get bogged down in Romans or Revelation. Be patient with yourself. Give yourself time to come to understand the Bible and to read it. It's like anything else. The more you do it, the more you come to understand it, and the easier it gets. Appreciating the Bible's simplicity and understandability at the same time ought to increase our sense of the responsibility that we have. Now that we know we can understand it, We're responsible to study it, to learn what it says, and to obey it. In Luke, the 10th chapter, again going back to the one that Jonathan read at the beginning, and I'll close out with this. Remember what the problem was with the lawyer? Jesus answered him in verse 28, "You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live." Those were among the first words that Jesus said in response to him after he quoted from the law. Do it. That's the hang-up with people. And as it goes on to say, but wishing to justify himself, oh, we've got to complicate things now. Now we've got to raise the question, well, what's the definition of a labor or of a neighbor here for our purposes? You say, people who really don't want to do what the Bible says, then they start complicating things unnecessarily. Although, I will say this. I don't think it's improper to ask that question, who is my neighbor? Let's define the term neighbor here. But after we've done that, that ought to include, well, the people whom Jesus includes, anybody who needs my help. So that, you know, in that one passage, you can see that the Bible is simple and it can become more complex. But in the process of making it more complex and understanding its complexities, like the definition of neighbor here, what that ought to do is bring us into greater compliance with God's will. It may be that there is at least one person here today who wants to be brought into compliance with God's will by being baptized into Christ. Come forward in faith and in repentance to confess before us your faith in Jesus Christ as the Son of God and be baptized into Him. If you have done that at some point in the past, but since then have fallen away, and you'd like to let us know that you're sorry for that, you'd like to come forward confessing your sins and asking for our forgiveness as well as God's forgiveness and seeking our help and encouragement, we would bid you to come forward. We'll let your needs be known as we, for your encouragement, stand together and sing.